Everybody, welcome to RPG Cast episode 811 for May 2nd, 2026. I'm Chris Privateer, bringing you this week's news about RPGs, of which there isn't much. Hopefully a short show, because I got a lot of stuff to do. I'm going on a work trip this week.
Yay. Awesome. Where are you going?
I'm going to Seattle.
So oh, cool. It's,
my workplace is in the same place they hold PAX. The Seattle, I mean, the company isn't there, but they're renting the Seattle Convention Center for this.
My goodness.
All the geeks from the company are going to be gathering together and doing engineering type things.
I have always wanted to go to Seattle because of the Pink Gorilla game store that is rather famous and modeled itself after Super Potato.
I've always seen that at PAX whenever I go. They always have a big booth there, and it's impressive, and everything's really expensive.
Yeah, just like retro gaming these days.
I was about to say, isn't Super Potato not the deal anymore?
I don't know what the deal is in Japan. I haven't been there in years, so someone fill me in.
Because in 2023, after the market kind of got outrageous, I wasn't that focused on buying games. I was focused on buying plushes. Yes. So I didn't pick up that many games, but in 2019, it was awesome. I bought all the things. But yeah, you'll have to check it out.
But like Super Potato sounds like is still there. Everything's very highly priced because it's a tourist spot at this point. So people will go in and listen. It is cool to see all this stuff just out there and well-preserved and in pristine condition for sale. Your childhood memories on a shelf. That's a service. They can charge a little bit for that. But if you're actually looking for a deal, you could probably get the same thing for less elsewhere, it sounds like.
But in that case, you got to hunt out the random little shop down a back alley, hidden behind a vending machine, that sort of thing.
That's sort of what Super Potato was.
Also, they're playing, this is a Game Boy, the flip close Game Boy Color for 27,280 yen. That's like over $200.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Get an analog pocket for that and get a better experience, right?
But also, funnily enough, a lot of the collector stuff that I saw that was like high end, at least in 2019, was at the Mandarake.
Whoa.
Because the Mandarake had one of the gold Rockman cartridges that was a prize. For
I don't know what that what is a what did you say and what is it?
Mandarake is a kind of multimedia store in Japan.
Okay.
They sell manga and DVDs and used games and used toys. And the one that we were at in Tokyo basically just had a bunch of stuff in a case. Including a gold Rockman, aka Mega Man cartridge, that was originally a prize for designing one of the robots.
See, when you said that the first time, I heard Rock Band.
Sorry.
And I'm like, Rock Band didn't come out as a cartridge. What is going on? And I'm having a stroke, aren't I?
No, I am really congested because I was off my allergy meds for a couple of days. Mm. So I might be a little bit lispy.
No worries. I just misheard it. So up here, somebody went to Super Potato in September. They had, you know, that cartridge that was Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt on the same cartridge for your NES. Mm-hmm. You've seen it like in flea markets for $7 or less a billion times. 14,080 yen.
So
convert convert 14,080 yen to dollars. Google, tell me that is $89.64. So as the poster in Reddit here says, this one picture tells you everything you need to know about shopping at Super Potato.
Yeah, because in 2019, it was about $100 to $1 for yen conversion.
Oh, yeah. The yen's a little weak right now, but like still, this is high.
Yeah, just a bit.
Oh, pickup from Super Potato. Okay, what did they buy? Here we go. 528 yens for a old-ass Sega Saturn game. That's how you shop at a used game store in Japan. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, because the most that I had spent was on the premium disc for Shining Force 3, which was that ended up being like $70. And then later I found it at another store for 40, and I was not happy about that. But yeah, I imagine a lot of it has to do with just retro game prices being ridiculous right now. Anyway, I wonder what the Pokemon games are going for in Japan these days, because I know in the US those copies have just hit the hundreds for the 3DS games at this point.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, I don't even think you got a chance to
Yeah,
introduce
so that's Kelly Ryan. Hi, Kelly. And
Hi.
also joining Josh Carpenter. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
So that's our intro segment. We talked about buying expensive retro games in Japan, which even after that talk, if you told me we were going to go do that, I would sign up and I would be like, "Let's go. I don't care. Let's go."
I mean, I'd honestly be curious.
Hey, if there's jet fuel to get us there, I'm all for it.
Let's go buy games I'm never going to play and will eventually sell for a profit on eBay.
Investment. It's an investment
That's what I
trip
did
there,
last time.
Chris.
I bought all these games. I was going to get into the Saturn. I'm going to play all this stuff. And nope.
But
I
you didn't lose money, you know,
No, I
so it
didn't.
works
I
out.
did not lose money. You are correct.
I did treat myself to a Japanese copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga, since I figured that's the only way I'm gonna own it.
That I did that in a retro thing here, but yeah, no, agreed. It was worthwhile. It went up like double in price
Oh, it's
by
it,
the
I
time I
think that's in
sold
the
it.
thousands now.
It's so much money.
I should have bit when it was just
So
in the
much money. I
200s,
bought it in the two.
same.
That's what I did. I bought it in the 200s, and people were like, "Wow, Chris." And then by the time we sold it, they're like, "Wow, Chris, nice."
Yeah.
To heck with cryptocurrency. What I need is an investment fund for, retro video games. I need a comparison chart of the value of retro
I mean,
video
the
games
market did
compared to the
fall out,
S&P
right?
500.
So isn't everything
Yeah.
lower now, or is it still really high? I'm actually
It's
confused on that.
still pretty high.
So if the market bottomed out, why are the prices still high?
Demand.
Okay. I'm going to say there's a chance that means the market didn't really fail, fall, break that. Something's missing in the math here. Someone can write in who knows all that. We'll get Jonathan back on. He'll tell
Because,
us.
Chris, for a while there, weren't you selling stuff, and a lot of the PSP stuff had hit just outrageous?
Yeah, we've sold all the stuff now, so we don't have any left. So we're out of
Okay.
that game because we said this is literally cluttering our lives. And while it looks cool, we are not a retro game store in Japan. Oh, we got
Because
rid of it.
I keep mostly my RPG collection just for backtrack. That way, if I can't easily emulate something, I can just whip it up on my OG consoles.
So we learned that, like, I won't ever play all these games that I think I'm going to play. So we stopped pretending. I stopped
You're
pretending.
honest with
I
yourself,
stopped
like this isn't
pretending. Yeah.
happening. If it does, the
Yeah, I can get
emulation
the
is
thing
so good
later.
now.
Yeah.
The
That's
money isn't going
fine.
to the developers, so shrug.
Yeah, because I got rid of a lot of the stuff that I could easily get on Steam, like your Borderlandses, your Dragon Ages,
Yeah.
stuff like that. But my Atlas and my Squeenix and my NIS stuff, I've kept around just because those mean a lot to me. I did end up selling my box copy of Agarest War, the one that came with the Boob mouse pad. Just because I'm like, I am never gonna play this. I'm embarrassed that I own it. I didn't even really make that good of money from it. It was like I sold it for like $30. I just wanted it out of my house.
Needed to
There
be
were a lot
gone.
of boob mouse pads that were made. Yeah. So new games.
Yeah.
I'm still playing Monster Hunter Stories 3. Chris, I've got a Magnum Molo in my party now.
Oh, I have to look up what that is because it
That
sounds like a marshmallow treat when you just say it out of context. Oh, that guy. from
Rise.
Yeah,
the flagship from Rise.
Yeah.
It's funny marching up to the hardest monster in that game and just tapping it and it dies instantly because I'm so overleveled right now. I've been running around the overworld kind of farming ingredients so that I can make some decent armor so that I can take on some of the elder dragons, which are kind of pre-game super bosses. I don't know the names of them off the top of my head, but I managed to defeat an ice one and one that was like, looks like a jellyfish with a bunch of tentacles.
And just to be clear, you're playing Monster Hunter Stories 3, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Monster Hunter Stories 3, not a mainline.
And it's still rock, paper, scissors combat?
Yeah. But it's still been fun. I don't know how to describe it. It's the perfect gameplay loop that just kind of checks all of my boxes. A lot of my favorite monsters in that game are sort of are endangered species. So, like, Barioth is one of the last ones that you can find that's the kind of ice-fanged saber-toothed tiger kind of animal. And I unlocked it, and I was trying to get a decent elemental spread over my team. So I had unlocked a variant that was called a Sand Barioth that naturally knows, like, earth moves. And then I went and combined it, or I put it in an ecosystem that was lightning elemental. So now I have, like, a combination sand-lightning Barioth. And it's been, like, my favorite monstie so far, just not only because of how powerful it is, but because it has the moves to climb walls and glide, which is kind of a godsend for getting around the map because, you know, up until that point, your default Rathalos glides but can't climb walls. And you get other monsties that can climb walls but not glide. And you kind of want to, you know, be able to get to the top of a map and then just kind of glide down. So being able to do that has just been so much fun. It makes it more Breath of the Wild. And I mentioned last week when Chris wasn't on that you get the Palamutes from
That's
Rise
awesome.
as a companion.
Oh, as a companion, not as a mount.
No, you can all of the monsters can be mounts.
Right. Oh, okay.
And you can do the same thing where if you put it in a ecosystem with a specific element and raise that ecosystem up to S rank, you can get Palamutes that are that element, and they change color based off of what element they are. So some people have just made entire parties of Palamutes in the various colors. Because I made one that was dragon type, just because that element was kind of missing in my party. So I've got like a neat fuchsia purple Palamute that I've been running around on. And because that particular monstie is so fast, you end up just kind of having that one as your default monstie. And my God, I think my Palamute is level 80 right now because I'm pretty much at end game.
Yeah.
I need to just go finish the game. I just like, no, well, I need to finish the game, but I want to make higher level armor, which involves going and finding this monster and beating it up. And it's basically the same gameplay loop as a conventional Monster Hunter game, just kind of toned down a little bit.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. I think if you were going to get into Monster Hunter Stories game, Chris, this one would be the perfect one.
Sure. Yeah, I think I would skip to the latest based on everything I know about them.
Not a series where you need to have played the first two games.
Oh, no. There was like one moment that where a character kind of looks at the cat companion and goes, Navi? Because, you know, Naviru from the, I think, the first or second game. I can't remember. And I'm like, I know who that is. But that's about the only connection I have seen thus far to the DS, I guess there was only the one DS game. The rest of the, because Stories 2 was on Switch.
Yeah.
And yeah, I keep saying this every week. I want to be done with that by this week, because I bought that Vampire Survivor roguelike and I'm dying to boot it up. But I know it's going to take over my life when I do.
You must finish everything before you start that.
Yeah.
I mean, that does make sense.
Though I don't know if I'm going to try that fishing game that you've been playing, Josh, because that one sounds kind of neat, too.
It's not bad. Nice Day for Fishing is on sale. I think it's still on sale right now, isn't it?
By like $10.
Yeah, it's like half off right now. So
what
it's
does
like
one do in Nice Day for Fishing?
So Nice Day for Fishing, the setup, well, obviously you do lots of fishing in it. The setup is like the character, Balin, the main character, is just like an NPC in an MMO. And basically he only has like two lines of dialogue.
Oh, this is by the TikTok people.
Yes.
Okay.
And so like he only has two lines. He's like, he can say morning and he can say nice day for fishing. And so you start the game, there's all the, you know, all the actual players of this MMO, and a bug happens. All the players are just like booted off of the server, and then a giant boss shows up and everybody's like, well, all the heroes need to go fight the boss. And it's like, oh crap, there's no heroes around. And then the boss just kind of like wipes out the town. So now you are like rebuilding the town.
Oh.
Thanks to the bugs that have happened, now you're magically able to take on quests. Like, you shouldn't be able to do that, but okay. So now the humble fisherman is the person who's having to go around and like fix the town and do the quests and save people who are kidnapped and fight enemies. And it's got an interesting little combat system. It's kind of like like a Mario RPG sort of thing. You know, you cast your reel in, you get the fish on, and then it's kind of like timing based. It's kind of like Mario RPG in the fact that you can just like hold down the attack button. And then when the fish starts to try and get away, you can like hold down the defense button and you take more of a hit. If you do the timing just correct, like you take basically no damage, and, you know, you can level up your character as you fish more and more. Your experience goes up and that increases your strength and it makes it easier to, you know, like reel in the fish as you go along, and you can upgrade your fishing rods. And I don't know, like it's a fun little game for certainly playing on. It matches very well on like Steam Deck or on Switch. I think it's on Switch, too. You were telling me, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Switch 1, but yeah, I downloaded it to my Switch 2. So.
Yeah. Obviously, it's not, you know, it's a pixel art game. It's, so, you know, it's not exactly pushing the Switch 2.
Do you need to know, like, the MMO lore from the skits by Viva La Dirt League?
No, I don't think so. That would go over my head, Chris.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you get more out of it.
Maybe there's
that.
An extra layer that you're not even appreciating.
Exactly. Very well. Could very well be.
So what are these skits like like Mega 64-esque jokes?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'd never heard of them before.
You've probably seen them, but yeah, it's all parodies of MMO stuff and mechanics and silliness.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on in the text of the game. Where it's making fun of MMOs, RPGs, that kind of stuff.
Very meta humor, from what it sounds like.
Yeah. It's a fun little game. Complete other end, I played the Neverway prologue. And that is the new game that's coming out later this year from the Celeste developer. And Celeste was not an RPG. That was a... wasn't it a 2D platformer where a depressed girl was climbing a mountain to like overcome her depression?
Mm-hmm.
That came out, geez, now I think it was like 2018. This is the same developer's new game, also stars a depressed girl, Only this time it is a mashup of like 2D Zelda with also some like life sim elements as well. It is extremely, extremely weird. It's also got like a very monochromatic color palette. Like it kind of swaps between different areas. Like it'll just be all kind of like a matte green, or it might be like kind of like a matte purple. The combat itself like is much more like Zelda like. Like you're moving around, you're attacking enemies. They've also kind of tacked on a stamina meter. That's the part I'm not sure about how I feel about, because I'm not used to having like a really tight stamina meter. It's almost like more Souls like in that sense, because you are only able to do, at least here at the very beginning of the game, you're only able to do like 3 or 4 attacks and then your stamina's out, and then you just kind of have to avoid the enemies rather than just being able to slash away and dive away. So you have to be a little bit more thoughtful about how you're taking on the characters, or how you're taking on the enemies. And it is also very much one where you are tossed in and it's, you are just having to kind of like figure out how to do things. So you'll get to like a broken bridge and it will just tell you like, okay, you got to repair the bridge and you'll need to have industry level 1. And it's like, how the hell do I get my industry ability up to level 1? I have no freaking clue. The game doesn't, you know, the game doesn't point you in what direction to go. You just kind of got to wander around and figure out like, oh, I can do this thing over here for this person and they give me an axe, and then I'm able to take the axe and cut down a bunch of trees and then get a bunch of wood from that. And then I'm able to take this over to this bench and I'm able to build like a thing that can actually process the wood, and then by processing the wood that actually raises my industry level up. So everything you're doing in the game kind of like affects your character's abilities. And then that is, so every single time you're fighting an enemy and you defeat them, that kind of like increases your, I think it was called the violence ability in the game. And it's an odd but interesting sort of visual style. It's oppressive. You can tell that the main character is supposed to be depressed. Like it almost like makes you feel kind of constrained and depressed as well. I can't even, like, at least I don't know how much of this is kind of like this prologue demo or how much of this is in the finished game, but like the initial start of it is like you're in an apartment, you've lost your job because like you're so depressed you just don't even go to work anymore. And it starts out in a city, and then you're like, man, I need a new thing in my life. I need to move to a new I just want to move away, get away from this, and move to an island. And it's done in such a way where I'm not even sure. Is this actually happening in the game? Is this person just dreaming this, or, you know, like it just kind of like swaps and I'm like, what's, you know, like, is this person just almost having like a mental break? I don't even know what's going on. It's weird. And it also is incorporating like a lot of like, you can tell the developers who did this grew up in almost like, more like 90s computer. Like you can go up to a computer in the game and it works like Windows 95.
Of course it does.
So like a lot of the combat in the demo is you going into your computer and kind of like loading up a game and then playing it in the computer, very meta sort of sense. And I don't know, like it's interesting enough to have me coming back to want to see what the heck they're doing and how it, you know, like how they actually finish this thing off. It's very unique. Not played anything else like it. I don't know if I'm going to get along with the combat or not, but it is that sort of thing where I've certainly seen games where the stamina meter or things like that kind of annoy me at the beginning. And then, you know, after a couple hours, like it becomes non-issue, you know, you're able to level up the character or, you know, so something kind of gets added on to the combat in a way that it becomes less of an issue. But, you know, it could be one of those games I absolutely adore. It could be a game that I kind of like 5 hour rule just because of the combat. But the visual design and the way they're telling the game is certainly very interesting.
It sounds like it.
But it's like the prologue, as they're calling it, is up on Steam right now, so you can go play it. It's like a few hours long.
Cool.
Kind of get a sense of it.
When's it out?
This fall, I believe.
Okay.
Coming out later this year. But another few months. I mean, otherwise, I'm still like making some progress on Trails Beyond the Horizon, but that game is taking me forever. At like when I get done with work and it's like I got like an hour, you know, get done with work and you got like an hour before bed. That game kind of drags on a little bit. It's a really good game, but it takes me forever to get through it when I'm only have a limited amount of time each night.
Lots of side quests.
Oh yeah, lots of stuff to do, and I'm doing my best to avoid, you know, doing all the stuff, talking to all the NPCs, like trying to stay focused, and it's still just like it is a gigantic game.
Because I remember when there was a time I tried to 100% Trails games, like, you know, trying to find all the hidden stuff.
Yeah.
And eventually I was like, you know what? If it's not obvious, I'm not bothering.
Nope. I still do most of the side quests that, you know, just like present themselves, but I'm not going to be bothered with trying to, you know, go between like six different NPCs to trade a bunch of different things so that I can get the last copy of the book so I can get the ultimate weapon that's, you know, like 3% better than the thing you can buy at the end of the game. No, I'm not bothering with that stuff anymore.
Because that stuff honestly kind of stressed me out, where I had to read a guide and just keep track of every single little hidden thing that I was supposed to do.
Honestly, the modern ones are not as awful as like the original Trails in the Sky was. I mean, there were some ridiculous things where it's like, okay, you've got this tiny little time frame between this event happening and the next event, and you have to go to completely different areas on the map and talk to random NPC at this place and then random NPC at this other place to get this one thing that you need, you know. And it's just no, like no one would naturally do that in the course of the game. You just have to like read a guide or be someone who is just doing absolutely everything, and at a certain point you're just like, okay, I've got too much other stuff to do. I don't want to be sitting there with a guide making sure I don't miss every single little thing.
I agree. I don't have that kind of free time or patience anymore.
Can I? All right, so it's time for me to make my weekly gaming confession.
Yeah.
I've still been playing Project Gorgon. It is full moon right now, so I'm stuck as my werewolf form.
Where?
So I can't be a cow at the moment.
Oh, you're not a werecow?
I am a werecow, but like it's the point where I'm the were instead of the cow.
Ah.
So you're a human that turns into a cow that turns into a wolf?
I mean, I haven't been a human in a while, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the idea.
What was your thoughts on the Final Fantasy 14 stuff?
I barely cared enough to pay attention to what was announced.
I mean, to be fair, they didn't announce a whole lot other than the expansion.
Yeah, I've heard that there's an expansion. I've heard that some things will change with regard to gearing and how easy it is to keep up with gearing, and grind tombstones will be a little different. And it has a dumb name, and I don't know the rest. I kind of don't know the rest.
Evercold's a dumb name?
Ever what?
Evercold's a dumb
name. Yeah, it's a dumb name. I think that's a dumb name. You think that's a good name?
It's
like, it sounds like a battery brand plus, you know, an ice brand. Like, come get our Evercold slushies. Ooh, refresh yourself this summer at 7-Eleven.
I would get an Evercold slushie.
You would get that an Evercold slushie? Okay.
That sounds delightful.
That sounds cursed. Like you drink it and you're going to be ice forever. No, the Evercold. The Ice 9 is free. Run.
As a perimenopausal woman with hot flashes, I am okay with being cold.
You are signing up for Evercold. Okay, that's fair. Was anything else interesting that I need to know about? Like, oh, but Chris, what about the
kitty
thing?
People?
Kitty people? What's interesting about the kitty people? What's happening with kitty people?
They look very cute.
Wait, there's another race of cat people?
I think they're just going to be NPCs. They're the newest beast gen race.
So they just keep adding more... All right, let's see how this works. That's... Mikotes. This is old. Where's the... Okay, so how about Kitty People Evercold? It sounds like a bad band from the 90s. Were you into Evercold? I was into Evercold.
Okay, that I can see.
You could see it, right? Yeah. Like Evanescence, but like dorky. The Evercold. So, okay, we have dwarf cats, basically. Norwegian forest cats with a pouch, with punt, with some thickness.
Aren't they cute?
They're going to waddle around, and maybe you'll pick one up and hug it, but probably not. And you can't be one. What if you could be one? Would you reroll?
I would totally.
Like you can already be two different types of cat girls. So, like, do you need a third?
That is a way to get me to play a short race, is having a cute little kitty cat race. Because I'm normally, well, I say I'm normally anti-short race, but I do have Volpara characters in WoW. But that's because they're foxes.
They are pretty neat. So let's see. We got the Evercold. I didn't pay attention to the story. The question is, will it be an interesting story? Because generally, the vibe last expansion was that it wasn't.
We'll see. I mean, they were coming off a story that was...
I know. It was like a decade of story that they wrapped up. Of course, you can't just start a new story and have it feel like that. But also, the story they started wasn't interesting. Well,
BFA had the exact same problem with WoW.
Well, I mean, I haven't played Midnight, Kelly. I think I finally just broke free of the cycle.
No, I did too, because nothing about it.
And all I had to do was get addicted to another MMO where I play as a cow all the time.
I mean, you're not wrong. Nothing about the new WoW stuff sounded interesting to me either.
Okay.
And yeah, you know, Legion is wrapping up almost two decades of story with Illidan and all of that.
That felt good. And then it was like, I guess we're done. But they kept going.
apparently in Midnight that they're trying to retcon Shadowlands as the Shadowlands we went to wasn't the real Shadowlands.
Oh, for good. You know, I was about to criticize that, but honestly, if they do that, it makes for better storytelling potential. And this is one of the times where I'm usually against retcons because they usually retcon something that you have good nostalgia for. I don't know that anyone has good nostalgia for Shadowlands. No. I mean, the animal heaven place that we hung out, and that was cool. It'll be a shame that that's not a thing anymore, but also we don't have the baggage of the whole rest of that expansion.
Sylvanas showed up in a cutscene recently.
And perfect.
Was like, hey, when runners aren't that bad, peace out.
Hold on. So if we're retconning Shadowlands, does that mean she never went there to begin with and that was all in our heads? Or no, she finally cleaned it up and realized this wasn't even the real one. All those souls weren't real. I got to go somewhere else and clean that up. What are we doing with that?
I mean, apparently she went there. Mm-hmm. Apparently everything that happened there happened. It's just not the real afterlife.
Okay. You have to die in that afterlife to get to the real afterlife? Are we just layering? Is it Inception? You don't know.
I'm asking, honestly don't know. Nor do I care. And
nor do I care. That's the problem. It should be interesting.
And bear in mind, I only know this because I'm still subbed to r/WoW when I read this stuff secondhand.
Hmm.
So
I will wait for a nice lore. I need like a 2-hour lore explainer video. That's how I consume this stuff now. I don't have time to play it. I watch long form YouTube content about it.
Well, yeah, because I've watched the lore explainer videos that explains everything with Hearthstone cards, but when I was going
Hold on. The lore of Hearthstone cards?
No, they use Hearthstone cards to represent the characters.
Oh, okay. That sounds immediately more interesting. All right,
yeah,
fair.
Yeah. So, and as of, well, when I was going down this rabbit hole, they hadn't recapped Shadowlands yet, so I still have no idea what went on in that.
You need to link me to that. Find that channel so we can both go through it.
Okay.
And then I might... and actually, the problem is, the reason I feel like this is my weekly confession is that there's a game that had an expansion come out that I was originally looking forward to trying out. That's Diablo 4. It's out, yeah. And I haven't touched it. And Kelly, they did two things that I wanted them to do for me to actually care about the next expansion. They actually did them. They are tying into other games in the series. Apparently, Diablo 3 tie-ins are things. So that's, yeah, I know it's Diablo 3, but I'll take it. It's like acknowledging the rest of the series was one of my issues with that game. And the Lorath is back, so I can listen to him read the phone book to me. Why am I not playing this game? Huh?
Oh, that guy.
Okay. Yeah, Sid. You know. Sid from Final Fantasy showed up again. He's there to read stuff to me.
The like, guy with the British voice, whose voice is so deep, it sounds like he has like five testicles.
He is a dragon. Just want him to, literally, just, Marie Narcina, 1712, Dutch Field Road. Just read it to me. It would be so good.
Who has a sexier voice, that guy or Idris Elba?
Oh, I have to, how do I get a sample of Idris Elba to compare to? I know he's famous. I know, like, he's cool. I can't summon him in my mind on demand like I can with this guy. Why is my YouTube so cursed? Okay, Idris Elba can do anything. All right. Talk for me. Oh, shoot! He said one line, Kelly, and I understand what you mean, and now I'm torn.
What did he say?
It was just a random thing in a skit. He said, none at all, but like that was enough. I was like, oh no, I have to choose? I want to listen to him some more. Dude. was he the one who did the 80s? Okay. How about we just get them together, Kelly?
Yeah.
They could do a duet in the audiobook.
And get Keith David in there too, and there won't be a dry panty in the house.
I mean, actually, Goliath! No, yeah. Kelly, this is becoming weapons grade. What are you doing? You're gonna violate a convention.
I what can I say? I know my sexy voices.
You do. And now I want to sign up for Allstate. Dude. Oh no. So this is where Andy's hobbies, Andy's into like male romance books. So I'm saying one character is read by Idris Elba, one character is read by Lorath, Sid / whatever his actual name is. And with a forward by Keith David.
I can never remember that guy's real name.
That book will sell so many copies. Like it'll start a whole copycat genre, and you're just gonna be fivering people with gritty gravelly voices, and it's a whole new industry. Actually, we need to delete this from the show because I need to go make this happen. It will make me millions, so let's go. So we'll see you next week. So I haven't played Diablo 4 yet, and I do want to, but also like this MMO I'm stuck in right now is so time consuming. And obviously I'm having fun, right? But I'm not even close to like done with stuff. Like there's still more systems, more leveling, more grinding, more things to do that I like doing. And so here's the interesting thing. The server population is starting to shrink, right? It's been a couple months since, I guess 3 months since launch. And like we went from 1,000 people on each server. We're down under 300 now. You're starting to get to know who's left. and you're banding together and you're feeling like the walls closing in and you're like, we need to be friends and have good relationships and help each other out against the encroaching darkness and the darkness is other video games taking people away. So it's like not a real darkness, but it's like, it feels that way. Cause like, where are all my friends? So like, I'm getting to know everybody on the server, which is like great. But also that means everyone remembers me. So that's like, I got to actually not be a jerk.
Be good.
Or I need to actually be good. That would also help. Or funny. And somebody yesterday, like I was saying, like I was razzing someone in a social group run and like, man, do you die in every single one of these? And then somebody else who was not involved in the conversation replied, do you talk in every single one of these runs? And I'm like, oh shoot, they called me out. I talk too much in this game. I'm a chatty mouth and they don't want to hear my bullshit anymore. Oh no. So I just raised the guy who died and I felt bad and I just stay quiet. Anyway, Andy has told me I'm approaching POE levels of life avoidance, so I'm gonna need to kind of learn to time box this game a little better and log out, which is fine, that's fair. The problem is if I log out of this game, I'm going to want to play Diablo 4 or PoE or something else, which is just as addictive. So I don't know how that's going to go.
I am going to wait until the Lord of Hatred or whatever it is on inevitably on sale on the Black Friday.
Oh, I pre-ordered it so I could play as Paladin last season.
See, I'm curious about Warlock.
Yeah, now Warlock's out. Yep, I got to try it.
And I need to boot up Diablo 2.
You do?
They put Warlock in Diablo 2.
They did.
Yeah.
I don't have time for all this. I gotta prioritize. And I do. Okay. So people are probably like tired of my anxiety about video games and like just play what you love. And it's like, I hear you. I hear it. I process it logically. And then here's where it falls over. I host a weekly gaming podcast. How can I not play new games and do that? And I guess the answer is I don't host a very good weekly bit gaming podcast or something, or you guys know what you're getting when you come here and you're cool with what it is. And I just need to chill. I feel bad. Like I should have more opinions about recent stuff or new things. And I'm like, all I want to do is play these nostalgia kicks.
Hey, on the plus side, Chris, the video game industry is helping you out by stopping producing new video games.
I mean, sure, but no, but we had so many. So even if we cut it in half, we still have too many. Like, yeah. I don't agree. There's still stuff coming out. How many things have come out this year alone that I haven't even finished Expedition 33. And I know that's a fantastic narrative. And like, I don't know when I'm going to get to it. And like, what am I doing? And the answer is having fun, but also like, how can I pretend to actually be doing a decent job producing this show and not play new games?
But how many people have stories of werecows?
I mean, that's so true. You know. Yeah. And Hairfrog is in the chat. Like, I don't think anyone has ever complained about not talking about new games on the RPG cast or us not streaming the newest games. And it's like, well, I mean, just because no one's complains doesn't mean I can't be neurotic about it, Hairfrog. How dare you?
I mean, that's the exact same way I felt a lot last year when I got very sucked into Atomicrops for 200 hours.
Nice.
Like, I really should be playing something more relevant, but I can't put down this game.
I love this. I love the immersion thing. That's what I love about these video games that we play. And there's too many to be immersed in them all, and that's the experience I like. So I'm like, I can't do what I find fun and keep up. That said, I am going to start at some point, because I have to travel this week for work, so being online persistently is going to be a problem, so I will be on my Steam Deck, Kelly, and you know what I'm going to play?
What you gonna play?
The Vampire Crawler game.
Yeah, I need to get into that.
I haven't tried it at all, so I'm going to boot it up and give it a go. And that should be pretty easy to get stuck into for a little bit without internet. See how it goes.
So is this the game that they were trying to make with the kind of the Castlevania assets, and they just did the Survivor thing as a lark and then invented this whole new genre somehow.
I don't know the story here, Kelly, but I do know that there is a second company listed on the game's page. So I got the impression that someone else developed it and they published it, but I don't know the story. I don't know. We need a lore explainer for Vamp. Hold on. Sorry. I almost wish something in the world that I need to think about if we actually want. Do we want lore? Somebody to attempt to create sane, well-documented lore for vampire survivors? I don't think we do.
The story of the development. Yeah, the story of the game. I couldn't care less about.
Okay, we want a documentary. So we need like Noclip to come back and do a thing. Yeah. Okay.
Because that's what I like about Vampire Survivors is just get in, kill a bunch of stuff, yeah. Break my screen, get out.
Or get in, spend half an hour realizing you don't remember how to make builds that work in this game, then finally make one that works and be like, okay, cool, I did it, and realize that wasn't half an hour, it was 3 hours, I better go do something else now.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, that's 100% it.
Okay. The only game I've ever had to had to remove from my Steam Deck because I was playing it too much and not getting anything done.
That's all I got. I think that's our games for the week. Is it time for feedback?
So. Yeah.
All right, let's get some feedback, please.
Our question of the week last week, what are your thoughts about Final Fantasy XIV? Will it get you to play again?
Oh, that's why you asked that question earlier.
Yeah, you know, I messed up. I should have waited to ask.
No, that was cool because it started a whole discussion, so it's fine. So what do other people think?
Not related to the question. Somehow Chuck Tingle got mentioned on the show last week. Oh, and
because Andy was on.
Sam, a.k.a. Nyx, responded, "We absolutely have Chuck Tingle. I haven't read any of his stuff yet either, but I want to just... need to be in the headspace. Thank you again for the love. I hope to be sane after this week." I think it was brought up because talking about Sam's curation of romance novels.
Yeah.
And I guess some old ladies had a problem.
I don't remember all the things, but I do know that Sam is busy with an actual Tim Hortons crossover
fundraiser thing.
Yeah. Or public service sort of stuff going on. That's
yeah. She explained it Wednesday night during Back Talk.
Okay.
Because she said, "I need to go to bed because I got to get up to make cookies."
Perfect.
So.
As a librarian, of course, her job involves making cookies.
Well, yeah, because Tim Hortons was sponsoring
the Well, you don't want to eat their food. Let me tell you, as someone who's been to Canada and supped from the teat of Tim Hortons in 2025, they ain't what they used to be.
No, they're not. It's sad. I remember the first time going to Canada and it was like, oh my God, Tim Hortons is this amazing thing. And you go,
the coffee's bad and the food's bad.
The coffee used to be so good because they would just like, they only kept it. When I remember when I first went, they would only keep coffee. They brewed new coffee like every 15 minutes.
That's what it said. They've got a timer on it and they still have like the signage that implies that. But like, even the new coffee isn't good. It's not good coffee. And so it's like, so. First of all, the deck is stacked against it for me because, like, I'm a specialty coffee kind of guy. So I like light roasted coffees with more tea-like tastes that don't taste like just normal coffee, you know, normal basic Folgers. No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing weird coffee that's like fermented or just barely roasted and harvested from like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon or whatever. So I'm already not gonna like enjoy it like I like my home coffee, but. Even then, like, you can have like just a good standard cup of coffee that's got a nice tasty nutty taste to it, that's like it stands up even if it's black. That the coffee they're serving there, there's only one place I know of to go to for coffee that's worse, and that's Dunkin' Donuts.
Really? Because I like Dunkin's
no actually coffee. Dunkin's coffee is slightly better than Tim Hortons, and that makes me sad. Shouldn't be. Like, Tim Hortons should have been like the thing, the Canadian specialty thing, but no. So it's so here's what I have found between the two, which is like Dunkin' and Tim Hortons are like the Canada versus American thing of the same subject, the same sort of restaurant. I slightly prefer Dunkin's coffee. I slightly prefer Tim Hortons pastries because Dunkin' Donuts are not good donuts. They're just there. And at least Tim Hortons will give you like some interesting flavor options like maple dip or some promotional thing. And the Dunkin' promotional things, you can't even order in the app. It's unreasonable. And they're always out. They can't make an eggs. Anyway, so where was I going with this? I just wanted to rant about Tim Hortons, apparently. Sorry.
But good on Tim Hortons for supporting Nix's.
Yeah, library. I'm glad they're doing good things that aren't that don't involve, you know, food.
I'm not picky about my donuts. I'll take a stale 3-day old grocery store donut. Of course. Now I need to know what your opinion about Krispy Kreme is.
So I don't get to have them very often, but I would just even without thinking very hard, I would rate them higher than both of Dunkin' and Tim Hortons combined. Like Krispy Kreme is like fresh, decent donuts, right? So
well, highly dependent on if you're getting them hot, nothing is better than a hot Krispy Kreme.
Sure.
Okay. But if it's in the store, no.
That's really? Garbage. Oh wait, so don't get the ones that are at the grocery store. Well, I mean, that's the same thing with like good coffee. Like sometimes there's actual nice coffee brands that do sell into grocery stores, but like by the time the coffee's there, it's way too old, and you're losing a lot of the flavor, the things that you're actually chasing in those specialty roasts. So it's like, and so I guess same thing with the donuts. By the time it gets to the grocery store, like it's like, you know, your TikTok dance being on Oprah. It's too late. It's done. It's over.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever had a hot Krispy Kreme when they got the sign on.
I've never had that opportunity. No, because that would involve getting up early and going to a donut store, which sounds like something I would never want to put effort into.
I mean, down. I don't know. They have it all day, all night. You know, you just look for the hot sign. They always turn the hot sign on when the donuts are hot. Yes.
All right. Okay.
It's a Krispy Kreme thing.
Also, there I'm trying to lose weight. I don't don't tempt me with don't. So there are actual donut places in there's one actual donut place in Madison people love. It's like Greenbush Bakery. It's like a real bakery that makes good donuts. And like that's the place to go in the morning and get like donuts that you're gonna be like these good donuts. And so I'm like, if I'm gonna put the effort into it, I'll end up going there instead of Krispy Kreme. And so this is why I'll probably never do what you're talking about. Unless it's I happen to walk once. By the, it on the, a road in some business trip. I'm like, this is the moment that I get to Krispy.
They gotta have the hot sign on. They got the hot sign on.
I got it. It's gotta have the hot sign. Otherwise it's
light and ethereal and it just kind of like almost dissolves in your mouth. It's amazing.
But without the hot sign, it's like going to Subway when they run out of bread.
Like, got it. Yeah, it's like whatever. It's sugar.
It's sugar.
So good though.
Where were we? Somehow we're on donuts.
Feedback,
it's, yeah.
It's because Nick's Rodan to mention that they do have Chuck Tingle romance novels, and I was trying to remember how Chuck Tingle got brought up, and we got
in
on
the
a tangent.
Library. Wow, guess that's why it's surprising, huh? Okay.
From Shaman, it won't be the expansion specifically, but the Switch 2 version that gets me to try Final Fantasy 14. Insert updated free trial copypasta here.
Yep.
Since people I trust have said it's a top tier single player Final Fantasy story.
Did they announce it's coming to Switch 2?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
They're working on optimizing it to get it to run on there good.
I wonder if they could like put a little of those setting optimizations over to the Steam Deck defaults. That would be nice too.
I feel like this is a case where the streaming version would almost be preferred given how much real estate that's going to take up.
Ooh, yeah.
Because you're probably going to need a memory card as expensive as the Switch too.
I mean, asterisk, because this is 14's an old game. It's a little before like the super like Call of Duty size inflation. So it can fit on in a memory card. So it's not like it's going to be terabytes of space. So but you'll need a memory card, but it can actually fit, which makes it like feel a little better to me than like, I'm going to get this memory card and it's going to be a hassle. I think in this case, you'll get the memory card and it'll just work out because you got the memory card. Mm-hmm. That tracks. I don't know. Maybe that's not good enough.
I'm curious how big the PS5 installation is.
Oh, right. I have that. I could go check, but that would involve turning on my PS5 and having it yell at me for the last time it lost power.
Oh, yeah. Mine did that, too.
Every time. Just the PS shame.
Your power went out. I'm mad at you.
Like, okay, what do you want me to do? I can't go back and make it not happen, PlayStation. It happened. You need to deal with it. PlayStation 5 needs therapy. That's what's going on. It doesn't know how to deal with unexpected events. Like, you have to be able to adapt. Things didn't go your way. I understand it. It's not... Am I the PS5's mother? Is that what's happening now? No, I don't like it.
Like, look, PS5, I'm sorry I haven't touched you in 6 months, but...
Okay, that's a whole different discussion, I think.
Yeah. I've just preferred my Switch 2. From Strawberry Eggs 14, coming to the Switch 2 makes it somewhat more likely I could try it out, but I doubt it. MMOs are not my thing. I haven't tried Phantasy Star Online 2, despite loving PSO episodes 1 and 2. And then from Scar, I've played all the 14 I need, but 11 on the other hand.
Yeah. What's going on with 11? That's coming back too.
Chris.
What?
Chris.
What?
No.
Yeah. No, they're developing new stuff in it.
Oh, they are? I thought that they were done. That it was just in maintenance mode.
No, they said they changed their mind because people kept playing it. So, like, by end of year, we should get some announcements of, like, actual new content and stuff. I mean, right now they're making it, so it's like they're getting off the old dev kits. They're making forward progress. Hell, the private server we used to play on, Kelly, they announced a party finder functionality that they're building into the game now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Either that or it was an April Fool's joke that I got taken by because it was just a Discord pop-up, so I didn't research it because I didn't want to be tempted to go back in. If I go back in, I might not come back out
again. Yeah, neither do I want to be tempted because that was a time sink last year.
Good one though.
I don't know if we have any ideas for a new question of the week. Maybe one will pop up during the news.
Okay.
I mean, we could do like a how do you get out of a game you're stuck in, or what's a game you're just not allowed to play again? You've set a rule.
That's a good question. For me, I just have to uninstall it.
Mm.
Anyway, you want to beat me into the news?
I do.
Maybe our question can be what company are you sad about shutting down? Because the developer Spiders is shutting down for Greedfall, Steel Rising, and The Technomancer, founded in 2008.
How will we get more? Man, they've been around for a while. That's sad. Yeah.
They did like weird, interesting Western RPGs.
Drink a Potion, right? Greedfall is Drink a Potion. They did that. That makes me sad.
Its latest title was Greedfall, The Dying World.
Mm-hmm.
At least last month. Oh, I'm sorry, March.
It's being liquidated. Wow.
Pour one out.
Goodbye. R.I.P. Spiders.
R.I.P. We've got the Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest press conference that's providing further Evercold insights. I didn't see anything that we didn't already know about.
PS4 version is still around, although they're getting close to kind of like end of lifing that. Yeah. You know, like we're not stopping it right now, but you should start thinking about upgrading. Getting onto a different platform.
Yeah. Now you can read more about that on the site. Moving on, speaking of Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo is available on Switch 2 and Xbox. This is the demo that lets players play through the first two chapters of the game, which I believe, I can't remember if the Niflheim flashback is part of those first two chapters.
I mean, he's sitting here in this trailer for this. He's fighting with Sephiroth on the same team. So,
okay.
I would assume so.
Because on the PS4, the Niflheim stuff was the demo.
Okay.
I bet you that's what it is then.
I'm sorry, PS5.
Sure.
So, progress carries over and you get an in-game Koopo charm for completing the demo. So, looking forward to that. The game comes out on June 2nd. I am excited, but I won't replay this until we get an announcement for the third game.
Okay.
In case you want to swap platforms over to Switch 2?
No, more just to refresh, because I'll still the third game probably will be Sony first.
Mm.
Just for replays, it'd be easier just to be able to, you know, play in bed.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did with Remake before Rebirth came out. I played it on my Steam Deck. But I'm hoping that we'll get an announcement sooner than later for Rebirth. Or for, I don't know what the third one's going to be called. I guess Reunion.
Probably.
We shall see. Let's see, what else have we got? Village Building Action RPG. Waroda, I live next to the Demon King's Castle. LOL. Announced. It follows a player character who is resurrected by a goddess in another world that's been taken over by an idol demon king, and you are given the power of creation to rebuild the world.
Very Minecraft.
What a concept. Never heard that before.
It's almost if we have a word for that genre.
I've been watching an isekai anime, actually. And it's this current season, so it's like easy to catch up on because it's like an episode and then I don't have to think about it for a week and then there's another episode. It's like, oh, this is how things are meant to be consumed rather than, you know, 18 hours in a row of consumption of media. It's the weird, I forget the name, but it's the protagonist keeps getting reincarnated as weird stuff, like the rib of the hero, the lock of a treasure chest, the door of the end boss's dungeon, stuff like that. And it's cute, and every time he comes back from his life of reincarnation, that he recaps it to the goddess who keeps reincarnating him, and every recap is done in a different animation or production style. There was one that was all papercraft, and it was incredible. And so, like, they've, and at the end, you get like credits on the screen of what studio made this sequence. And it's just, it's really cool. Just from an artistic perspective, the story's kind of crap, but like, it's just cool to see how they're going to animate and illustrate what happened here and present it on screen. And papercraft stuff was so freaking cool. Like, everything had like tabs and you pull this sideways and dialogue bubbles came out. It was insane. So yeah, my ridiculous reincarnation or something like that, it's on Crunchyroll. I do recommend if you like absurd stuff or just seeing cool things that look neat, even if the story's a bit light.
I feel like there's only two types of isekais now. The serious ones that are power fantasies or the parodies that are trying to take the piss out of them.
Sounds good. That's what it should be. They keep each other honest.
It's not an RPG, but I personally want to play the one that I sent you guys the trailer for.
Oh, Truck-kun?
Truck-kun is supporting me from another world.
Yeah.
It's basically one part Crazy Taxi, one part Katamari, where you are driving around and breaking all sorts of stuff. And the better you do, the more the hero that isekai does in their world.
Nice.
I love that kind of stuff. Anyway, when does this come out? It's just been announced. Plan to release via Steam this summer. I am going to wishlist this because it sounds kind of like Dragon Quest Builders.
It does.
It looks like it.
And that's my jam. Anytime we can get a Dragon Quest Builders clone, I'm all for it. I'm going to butcher this. Exeterra Remaster announced for PC.
Extetra, I think.
Extetra. Okay.
But extetra, not etc., but extetra, because there's that T in there.
It was a Japan and 3DS only Vita title from Furyu. And
this was the kissing RPG. I remember this when it was announced in Japan and never came out over here.
Oh.
So you create knights by kissing them.
Yes.
So it's like that Fire Emblem mode we never really got in the real. No, never mind.
Yeah. I think there was also like a, slightly pervy mini game that involved the touchpad on the back as well. Go figure. It was a Vita game.
Mm-hmm. Are we're kissing girls and then they're joining our harem? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
You got to kiss them so that they get the magical powers and can turn into knights. You know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
You have to kiss them before every fight, or is it?
I don't remember one and the details. Done,
and then they can just never kiss him again because it was he is a creepy guy. That's a creepy
Michael thing. Baker played the 3DS iteration of it in Japanese. He did not like it. He gave it a 2 out of 5.
Oh.
Maybe don't be too excited.
Yeah, let's just move on then.
But yeah, it is coming out on PC via Steam. We'll have support for English. Try at your own risk, I guess.
Kelly, I want to know if this next one is a parody or not.
Roguelite Monster Battler Fear Tall Grass announced.
So it's like, that's a Pokemon reference because you need monsters to go into the tall grass. Otherwise, you're going to get attacked, right? So like, what are we doing here? It doesn't look like, I don't know what's happening. Like, we got a knight walking around the grass, and then all of a sudden you get into a battle and it looks like Pokemon, simplified Pokemon or complicated Pokemon. I'm not honestly sure because Pokemon's simple to begin with.
And I think it's supposed to be roguelike. Okay. So I don't know.
That's a whole thing about Pokemon games. Like, people have turned Pokemons into roguelites now, and like they do. They're really hard, and it's about picking the right type comparisons and strategizing and knowing all the moves of all the Pokemon. And it's not for me at all. But I'm wondering if they're kind of going for an easier version of that to actually make it a genre. I don't know.
Because isn't that basically what a Nuzlocke is rogueliking?
Sure. You can. The actual roguelike ones are a bit more codified into the game and stuff. So you don't need to follow a set of restrictions that you just decide which ones you're going to do or not. The games are just straight up randomized in that way, and it's all just ROM hacks that make the game do the thing. And this, of course, not a ROM hack. It's just a game that's going for something. I'm theorizing that is like that. Apologies if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Let's see. When is this supposed to be out? It's available. Going to be available for PC, the PlayStations, the Xboxes, Switch, and Steam.
It has city building.
Okay.
So I think that's how you progress and get stronger between runs.
Gotcha.
I always like that. City building to get stronger.
We shall see. I like a good roguelike. I like a good Pokemon. Hopefully they can mesh well. No word about a release date.
Okay.
Co-op action RPG roguelite Above Land Rhapsody announced. So this is a co-op RPG. It's an action RPG. I didn't know what to make of this trailer because at first I thought it was kind of goofy, and then they brought out the chair as a weapon.
Okay, I'm also was concerned, like, am I just old now that I don't get this?
Yeah. Like, okay, they're really trying to edify this interesting looking action RPG. Oh,
well. It falls in a weird in between spot because parts of it look very, straightforward and serious, and some of the characters are, like, oh, they've got regular swords and guns and that kind of stuff, and then you have the characters who are going around wielding a chair or a basketball. And you're like,
what's happening in this game?
I don't know.
And that was the part where it's like, okay, is this trying to be silly or
is this
serious?
A Musou? What is this?
It looks, and that was the other thing. How Musou it looked.
Multiplayer.
She's just doing she's just doing push-ups and pots and pans are falling from the sky. What is okay, so this game is ridiculous, obviously. So, oh, and there's tower defense. Like, what? Okay, so this is a comedic action RPG tower defense thing then with multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wish list now. Maybe someday we'll understand what the game is.
I mean, I don't mind a comedy game as long as it's fun. It's just I didn't know what to make of this trailer because of how wildly the tone went back and forth. But at the same time, the basketball stuff I thought was really funny.
I agree. I think it looks neat. I want to know if the game's fun.
And that was the other thing, too. I honestly couldn't tell if this was going to be a paid game or a free-to-play.
They might not know.
Tone.
All right, what's our next thing?
Yeah. Moving on. Hellslave 2 Judgment of the Archon has been announced, a follow-up to the 2022 title Hellslave. Set to come out for Steam in quarter three. Don't have a lot of details past that.
Heaven has run out of patience, the trailer says. First-person dungeon crawler, right? So, whatever.
Yeah.
You're into them, you're not into them. This looks a little dark. Choose a demon lineage.
Couldn't tell if it was supposed to be a Darkest Dungeon clone or not. That's why
I don't think so, but maybe there's some element to that. This looks a lot more like first person kill the slime in front of you sort of thing.
Okay.
Single dev, so.
What else have we got?
Kickstarter.
Diorama Break has begun its Kickstarter campaign. They're looking for $70,000 by May 30th. If you pledge at least $22, you'll get a Steam copy of the game. And this looks like a traditional RPG.
Tactical combat. Very nice art style. Animation, yeah.
Apparently the hero talks to you directly. But we're breaking the fourth wall. Oh, hence Diorama Break. Okay, yeah.
See, that's not what I thought of when I thought diorama. But I guess if the game is the diorama and they're breaking it, so expected to release in 2029 for PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Oh, and there's a demo currently available on PC and Steam.
It looks very pretty.
Yeah. No, we can look forward to that. Atom RPG 2 is undergoing a Kickstarter campaign.
This is Fallout-like, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Post-apocalyptic, nuclear winter, you know. Yeah.
And you get a doggy.
Kind of like Fallout 1 and 2 with more kind of tactical combat.
Good. Thank you. That's the way it should be. What's the deals? It's also kickstarting. Okay.
Yeah.
They made it yet?
It's in development.
No, I mean, have they hit their goal? 57,199 out of 58,630. Okay, this is a converted looks like they're going to hit it. They got 18 days to go still. So they got a bunch of stretch goals that I don't think they're going to get. They're just around their base goal right now. And they've got stretch goals up to like 1.5 million, which no. I don't think you're getting there, guys. I'm sorry. I know that sucks, but. Oh, well. What else?
Hike Northern Lights is getting a free update this week. This is a hot spring cozy game.
I'm just watching a person and a rabbit mascot run around killing things. And I'm like, is this cozy? Is this really cozy?
I guess
this part's cozy where you're just hanging out the hot springs or getting a suntan. But like, oh, and you get to build the hot spring?
Yeah.
And it's an update, right? Okay, so they're adding a chill mode. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never played Hike. I didn't even know it was a thing. So, cool.
Moving on. Monster Hunter Outlanders gets more details ahead of the second closed beta.
Oh.
A Monster Hunter mobile game.
No. The iOS version of Monster Hunter 2 is my first Monster Hunter experience. That was important. Me and Manny played that. It got me into the series. But now a mobile game makes you think of a few things that are not desirable. So are they going to do the bad?
Monetization.
What do we have?
I honestly don't know.
Let's see. We got classic mode for traditional Monster Hunter style action, and then adventure mode for just spamming buttons and killing things. Okay. You get a Palico. You form a squad of four adventurers in single player, so you get a party, or you could do multiplayer with real people. And they want it to be a live service game. Oh, no. And seasons.
Everything's a live service game now.
How about you just add more patches to Monster Hunter World? Or what's the current one? You know.
Wilds.
Yeah. But no, we're going to do a phone game. I'm going to pass, I think. I think I'm going to pass. Why would I do this? Yeah, I don't know. It's a phone game. You get into them for, I got into the Horse Girl game, so I guess I could be suckered into this one too. Ellie. You got to say the next game title correctly. This is your test.
Oh, Underwater Ray Romano, Past and Present Rediscovered reveals more characters and system details.
Oh. Got a bunch of story plot points that you could go read. And it's going to use the same turn-based combat system as Monochrome Mobius, Rights and Wrongs Forgotten, which I don't know what that is, but okay.
Another prequel to the original release.
Monochrome Mobius was an Underwater Ray Romano game?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a prequel. Yeah.
But it doesn't say Uroboros Ramono.
No, it's Monochrome Mobius.
But that's not the same. How am I supposed to know these things are in the same series if you give them a different prefix?
It's very much an Atelier Monochromia.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And you'll note they didn't go back to Monochromia. Mamma Mia. No, that's different.
No, they didn't.
Kyoto Xanadu, Kelly? What's
A sequel to Tokyo Xanadu. We've got more characters and more gameplay systems.
So here we're linking them by the second word, not the first word. Got it.
Yeah.
The Xanadu game. Wait, Xanadu. Oh, see, this 80s music thing is relevant. Xanadu, Olivia Newton-John. All right. In Xanadu. Bum, 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 bum. No?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. I'll take it.
It certainly looks way more like that they're investing way more in this one. You know, the first Tokyo Xanadu was very much made with the leftover parts of Cold Steel. Mm-hmm. And this one is obviously much more made from
scratch. This is a Trails people making this?
Yeah.
Falcom.
Oh, Nihon Falcom. Okay. What kind of game is this? I'm so sorry. I should
Action RPG.
Oh. But there's like cards and stuff. What is happening?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, cool. Probably says in the article. Did I miss it? Let's see.
It explained everything. You're at an academy and you're learning.
There's upgrade systems, and I guess you could play card games with people and a thing. Yeah, all right, cool. Kyoto Xanadu. More details. Still ain't out here. Quartet's coming to Switch! Yay! It's a great game. You should play it.
It's on my to-do list. When does it come out? Oh, May 12th.
Very soon. So
May 12th, 20 10 bucks.
Days, yeah.
Blood of the Dawnwalker is launching in early September. What is this?
Ooh, look at this. They got a collector's thing.
Sorry, what?
They got a collector's edition. Sorry, Blood of the Dawnwalker. No. Bandai Namco and Rebel Wolves revealed Blood of the Dawnwalker is launching at the start of September. They had an hour-long program featuring new gameplay info and behind-the-scenes features. Looks like they announced like a collector edition thing and another.
A ridiculous $200 collector's edition.
It's got like a full statue in it. And stuff. Yeah. Don't you want a statue, Kelly?
Not really.
What about a paper world map? Doesn't even look cloth. How dare you?
No.
You get the game. You get a steel book for the game inside a bigger box, and that your game isn't in. So why do they give you the steel book? What are you going to do with it? Like, you've already got the collector's box on your shelf. You're going to have a steel book that's inside the collector's box on yourself that nobody can see. What is even the point of the steel book? Guys, stop with the steel books. Why? Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I really don't like doing collector's editions for new IP.
I don't even know if I'm going to like this.
Yeah.
There's also a 60-page hardcover world compendium, which I guess is just a nice way to publish the concept art so you can look at. So,
yeah.
Okay.
It sounds fancier than art book.
Yeah, it does. It looks fancier. It looks huge, which means it's probably really tiny. It's probably like 4 inches big.
I don't even remember hearing this game getting announced.
I don't know anything about it. I'm going to guess there's vampires, though.
Like, at first I thought, was this that Bloodborne game that they, or that sort of Bloodborne-looking game they announced for the Switch 2? No. Mm. So I have no idea. Another Western release confirmed, Coldstep, the first Saturn tribute. So we're paying tribute to the Sega Saturn.
Perfect. That's the only retro games we can afford. We learned that earlier. Oh, good. Actually, another collector's box, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
What is that the announcement? Is this box or has it got a date or something? That we're...
It's releasing internationally on July 30th, 2026. I believe the Switch 2 version isn't going to be a key card as
well. Wait, they really are referencing the Saturn on the... Oh, so is this a... This was a Saturn game originally? Is that what this is?
No.
Because inside the collector's box, there is a soundtrack that is 100% referencing Japanese Sega Saturn game packaging. Like, no question. That's what it is.
Yeah, I see that. And the soundtrack was composed by Yuzo Koshiro.
Mm-hmm.
Which piques my interest because that dude
called
is up
the first initially released for Sega Saturn in Japan in 1997 before later coming to PlayStation, Nintendo DS, and 3DS, also only in Japan. The enhanced part was announced alongside Coldstep Begins, which will be the first new entry in the series since 2016 and is a prequel to the first game. So now you can play the first game, so you can then later play the prequel. And if you really like Coldstep and are sad you couldn't buy it in the day, you can spend even more money on the Scepter Edition, which has the soundtrack, the two-disc soundtrack in the case that looks like it's a Saturn game. You've got the Switch or PS5 game. No steelbook, so they get plus points for that for me. You get an art book. They just call it an art book, not a world, whatever the other one called it. 10 art cards, which I don't understand what you're going to do with those. And then 9 acrylic standees, which I don't have room in my life for acrylic standees. Do you?
No.
Okay. And then it all comes in a paper box that's like, okay, great, cool. That soundtrack thing, though, that's the hit. That's the thing. And Yuzo Koshiro, who did music for, is that Sonic or?
Etrian Odyssey. Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Streets of Rage. That's even better. Like, because
Streets of Rage 2 soundtrack. Oh my gosh.
I think the first Ease game he did. But also, and I messed up how to say this game. There should be Coldstep the first colon Saturn tribute.
I don't want a colon tribute.
I don't think any of us do.
Yeah.
Comes out on September 8th.
All right. Cool.
All right.
I want to play other retro games. What can I do here?
River City Saga Journey to the West is releasing in June.
That's not a retro game. It's a sequel to a very old long running sequel series that started on the NES. Was River City Ransom, right?
So I guess all of the famous River City Ransom characters are playing different...
Oh, they're in the Monkey King. So this is the tale that inspired Dragon Ball and Enslaved Journey to the West and all these other things. And then like actual games that have been made about this fairy tale directly, like whatever they're called. And then this is the Son Goku story. So the main guy from Kunio-kun shows up here, except he's the main character in this fairy tale, and he's got a monkey tail and a staff. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's what's going on.
Oh, they even tell you, like, in parentheses, the character that they are in the main series. So their son's on, played by Kunio. Okay, fair enough.
So it sounds like a...
Wait, Kunio plays 4 different characters in this? I'm very confused.
it sounds like the Yakuza... samurai games where there it's like different characters playing different ancient Japan people.
Got it.
I
haven't played any of those, but that sounds like you nailed it.
Josh, is that a fair assumption?
Of what? I'm sorry, I missed you.
This Kunio-kun game is akin to like when the samurai yakuza games were like Majima is playing Nobunaga and
Okay. Just like that. Yeah.
This thing will only be $20. So PC, PlayStation 5, Switch on June 4th. Yep.
Let's see. G-Mode Archive Xenosaga Pied Piper coming on PC and Switch this week.
We've covered this a bit in the past, but like this is just the mobile Xenosaga game and finally has, I guess, a date. So April 30th.
And by mobile, we don't mean iPhone mobile.
Oh, no.
We mean like flip phone mobile.
Yeah, we mean old Japanese mobile.
And I don't even think this is in English.
No, Japanese language support only. But now someone, I guess, can patch it in if they... Is there a fan translation of this? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't imagine
there is. I mean, if there isn't, that probably tells you you don't need to play the game. We'll see. We got another release date for Stardust?
Yeah, Stardust Wish of the Witch is releasing in late May. This is a tactical RPG coming out on May 28th. Not much else to the story other than that?
No.
.45 Parabellum Bloodhound releasing later this year. This is from the Valhalla people.
Yeah, it's Sukeban Games.
Yeah.
But this is quite the different style of game, since Valhalla was more, you know, visual novel where you could also mix drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, this looks like a PS2 sort of, you know, dark RPG. It's weird looking.
PS1 actually is what it looks like.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, PS1 era retro graphics. So like, I don't know. I didn't play Parasite Eve. Is this what Parasite? No, this is actually it's more Metal Gear Solid vibes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's actiony, but you can freeze time to make commands. It's weird. Look, you should check it out. It's gonna be out in Steam this summer or fall. We're not sure when. They're not sure when.
They're hedging.
So the game again is .45 Parabellum Bloodhound. Or 45 caliber Parabellum Blend? I don't know how to pronounce it, but
I don't know either.
It is a cyberpunk RPG. All right. Axe Cop. Man.
Yeah.
What that I don't even remember where Axe Cop comes from.
So it was a webcomic and released in 2009 that was written by a 5-year-old and drawn by his 29-year-old brother.
Right, and this is in the trailer. It's recovering the history. Okay, so now it's finally getting a video game.
Yeah, it had a TV show.
The game came out in 2020. Okay,
so this is console release.
Yeah, all right. It had a TV show.
Yep.
On what channel?
I think I'm not sure.
Or was it just on YouTube or something? You know,
it may have been just on YouTube. I'm sure somebody can write it and correct me. But I did the math, by the way. That 5-year-old kid is 22 years old now.
Uh-huh.
Was kind of skimming the comic a little bit, and it's like, yep, this was definitely written by a 5-year-old.
Does he remember any of that is what I want to know.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I guess it got popular enough.
The TV show was originally on Fox, and then the second season was on FXX.
Okay.
2013. All right. Yeah.
All right, cool. Get your Cop stuff going on. Let's bring back the memes. Let's go. $10 it's going to be. PlayStation 4, PS5, and Xbox, and Switch.
But the art is very high quality in the comic.
Oh, okay.
And I'll bet it was a fun project just to be like, okay, kid, tell me what to draw.
Nice.
Get the craziness that a only a 5-year-old can come up with.
Kelly, you know what I'm lacking in my life?
What?
A deck-building roguelike strategy RPG. There just aren't enough of those. I wish I could have another one. Don't you agree?
Well, we've got Rainbow Legends releasing next
week. Oh, perfect. What makes this one special?
Set in a world consumed by a color-devouring void, players set out to reclaim territory and restore its balance. And I might add, this is not a sequel to Rainbow Moon or Rainbow Skies.
Okay.
Just making sure
that all right.
That's clear, because when I saw the headline...
I'm watching this trailer. I don't understand what's happening at all.
There's just all kinds of things going on.
You're fighting people. You have a hand of cards. They all have different numbers on top. I assume that costs different energy and do different things. And you're on a board with squares, and you play your cards, and some of the squares turn your color, and then they play their cards and they turn their color, and then big groups of squares get picked up and some of them change color. I don't understand.
There's a lot going on for a card deck building game.
It's like it's like playing Blockus with cards and RPG elements, I guess.
See, I felt like that was the premise of Queen's Blood in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Okay, I haven't played that.
Where it would flip cards and change them to color, and the opposite.
Oh, I see.
Faction would change colors.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's all the new releases.
So I have, two release things? We've got Alabaster Dawn coming out this week for PC and Linux in early access. It's an action RPG. And we have Echo and the Bewitched Lands already out on Switch, now coming to PC this week. That's all I was able to find. What, Andy? It's not good. Oh, is it a Kemco game or something? It's just not good. Okay. So I just wanted to make sure I didn't need to do the siren. all right. Tell me some review stuff, Kelly. Can you hit me up with some review content?
Yeah, we got a review for Monster Crown from Jordan McLean.
That's a Pokemon-like?
Yeah, this is the sequel to Monster Crown, which is a game that I played last year for our Monster Catching May. Monster Crown the Sin Eater is this new one, and Jordan gave it a 4 out of 5.
So it's different style than the first one, I guess?
Yeah. The first one looked very Game Boy Color. This kind of looks like Game Boy Color Plus. The palette looks like it has a lot more colors in it.
All right.
And from what I understand, this game is significantly less buggy.
Okay, that's always good too.
Yeah, because the original was like one of the most buggy games I had ever played.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
But you still liked it.
Oh, I had a blast with it. I had to save scum, and it had a button sequence to unstick you because
like the game would hang your character would get stuck in the map. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what did he say about wide and diverse array of well-designed monsters, strong writing and lore, oppressive world, gorgeous sprite work, phenomenal soundtrack. Those are the positives. Negatives, hit or miss balance after Windy Province. The plot is a little roughly paced, and rough details on a small handful of monster sprites.
There is it to be a standout monster taming RPG. Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
So there's that. We've got a Arcadia Fallen 2 review from Alex Fuller. He gave it a 3 out of 5, saying that it has an engaging story and a strong cast, but it feels like it lacks a bit of player agency and not really enough to the puzzles.
So this is a sequel to Arcadia and Fallen, hence Arcadia Fallen 2, I guess they're role-playing visual novels? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Cool. Huh. Does that mean you level up in a visual novel?
Don't know.
All right.
And then Twisted Tales of Spike McFang retro review from Ryan Radcliffe.
McFang.
I missed this one on the SNES.
Uh-huh, me too.
I think it was either a late release or it was a prototype that came and got cleaned up and released later.
Because
I'm pretty sure I saw this on Limited Run. he gave it a 2.5 out of 5, saying that it looks great and it's kid-friendly, but the spin move has no range, Dizzy activates way too quickly, and the grind is real.
But also, it's considered a hidden gem that most RP gamers missed on the SNES.
From what I've heard, yeah.
Kid vampire who drinks tomato juice. The only tomato juice... That seems like more like a Banicula thing to me than a kid vampire, but...
I think Count Duckula was also a vampire.
Yeah, so like, okay, in my game that I'm a cow, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of animal classes, but you can also be a vampire, and you can stack that with one of the animal classes. So I've had to re-educate people about Banicula a lot recently. And it's just,
okay.
It's weird. Like, this is not something I expected to have to do in my future, is remind people that Banicula and Count Duckula exist.
And according to Wikipedia, it came out in June 1994.
For which one? Spike McFang? Okay.
But I could have sworn it got like a re-release recently, but I might be mistaken.
This next one has a deer carrying a camera.
Adventure Corner?
Yeah.
Opus Prism Peak?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a puzzle game. Elena.
Yeah. It's the fourth standalone entry in the Opus series. I don't know anything about that series. With a profound narrative and uplifting motifs, this title exquisitely captures the beauty of self-discovery and earns its place in the decade-long legacy. Self-discovery is cool. Like, walk around and find things and feel cool. Like, I found a thing. Got an interview.
From Dalandar for Thysiastery?
Yeah.
It's a first-person dungeon crawler.
In black and white. No, in a limited palette, I'll put it.
Yeah, it's a... Is that a grayscale, or...?
No, because there's green.
Yeah, it's
and then a couple red dots here and there.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's minimalistic palette. Yeah. So they ask questions about it, and then... And that's it. I don't know if that game's out and we have a review already, do we? Yes. Yes, we got the review already. We linked to it. Came out March, or the review came out end of March, and got a 3 out of 5 from Dalandar. So, if you're interested in that title, you want to learn more about how it came to be, go check out the interview. That's it.
All right.
Do we have a question of the week?
Did we write down what we had earlier or not?
I don't think
like
I
what's
did.
The game you're not allowed to go back to?
Yes, there we go.
We don't have to do that, but yeah.
I like it.
Oh. Okay. That works.
For me, I have to stay away from Civilization because when I get into one of those, like I lose, you know.
I enjoy beating Kelly in Civilization.
I haven't done that in a while. Do I get mad?
No.
No.
You didn't get mad. It was just I like enjoyed like, yeah, I'm better at somebody at a video game. And then I realized but I've played this more than her and that's not fair.
Cause pretty much anything Stardew Valley or Minecraft adjacent, I can't go near without putting in thousands of hours.
Okay. So write into tell us that on the Discord or the show post or our YouTube comments. We'll read them here on the show next week or the week after. I forgot how the schedule's working. Since I have a work trip, I won't be here next Saturday, so I don't know how that's working. But thankfully, I've got Andy around and he's organizing stuff, so yay. And with that, I'm going to ask what everyone's going to play this week before we call it. Josh, what are you going to play?
I'm going to do some more fishing.
All right. And the name of that fishing game again?
Nice Day for Fishing.
Nice Day for Fishing. Kelly, what are you up to?
I am going to wrap up Monster Hunter, and I want to boot up Vampire... what's the new one called?
Vampire Crawlers.
Vampire Crawlers. We shall see. Because I also have a birthday coming up, and I don't know if Birthday Santa will bestow me with games.
Hopefully they're very expensive retro games from Japan.
No, I think they're newish ones. I don't... look, Birthday Santa's never going to get me a copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga unless Birthday Santa wins the freaking lottery.
Okay, fair enough.
we'll probably end up like buying more important stuff than that.
Fair enough. All right. I think in the me, I'm gonna. Obviously, I'm still stuck in Project Gorgon. The two things I'm looking into, still Diablo 4. I would like to try out the new expansion and listen to the narrative stuff. And I would also like to try out Vampire Crawlers. So I think that's what I'm gonna try to at least do that on the plane or something. So we'll see. Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned, of course, for Twitch content. We'll have people like Tam streaming and Hairfrog streaming and doing cool things. And Peter and Scar. Go check out the channel. Just follow the channel and get alerted when RP Gamer's going live, and then join us in the chat room. All right. We'll see you next time, though. And until then, everybody, have a good one. Enjoy your games and tell us what games you're not allowing yourself to play anymore. See ya. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.